us. I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, we do believe you are here in this place, wherever this place may be. You are among us, eager to speak to us. So open our ears and our eyes, open our hearts and our minds. In the midst of my words, may your word be clearly heard. Amen. One of my favorite quotes from poet Mary Oliver poses a question. Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? For us as people of faith, this question is about more than trying to figure out what we might like to do, or that might be fun. For us as people of faith, we are challenged to discern through prayer and a calm attentiveness to God at work in our world and in us, just what it is God wants us to do and when. As we shall see, King David would learn this the hard way. And when we segue to our gospel lesson, we will see Jesus modeling behavior that shows us how to do this well. But let's begin with King David. You may recall that we encountered him just ever so quickly last Sunday. He was helping to accompany the Ark of God as it was being relocated to Jerusalem. As we encounter him today, he has just come down off of this mountaintop experience. In fact, he had been so caught up in the celebration surrounding the movement of the Ark of the Covenant that he had literally danced right out of his clothing. And here he was back in the midst of the routine, kind of a letdown. You know what it feels like. The day after you've returned from an absolutely wonderful vacation, or a truly inspiring retreat, or you've spent time with beloved family and friends. As David sits in his absolutely lovely home, he says, I think God needs a house like this. I think the Ark, remember that sacred piece of church furniture, needs a dwelling place like this. And as I think about David having these thoughts, he reminds me a bit of Peter. Remember Peter went up the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, along with James and John? And while they were there, Jesus became dazzling white, and Elijah and Moses showed up. And what did Peter want to do? Build a dwelling place to contain the glory and splendor of the moment. But you may also recall that Jesus nixed the idea. Just as God would nix the idea of David building for him a magnificent permanent dwelling. Mind you, David's idea was not a bad idea. In fact, when David shared it with the prophet Nathan, who was his trusted advisor, Nathan was on top of it 100%, all in. But neither David nor Nathan had bothered to consult God about this. No, it wasn't a bad idea, but it wasn't God's idea. And when you're going to be at the center of what's going on, you really should be consulted about what's happening, wouldn't you say? I remember learning that early on in ministry when I was asked to serve on a conference committee focusing on LGBTQ issues in our conference and trying to make our conference a more welcoming one. So I showed up for the first meeting, all excited. I was in my 20s, raring to go, but I was troubled because when I showed up for the meeting, I immediately discovered there wasn't a single gay, lesbian, bi-gender, or transgendered person in the mix. And I spoke up. Because if we're going to be making decisions about persons, those persons ought to be involved. not unlike attempting to fight racism and the issues surrounding it without engaging in conversation with those who have suffered the most. Neither David nor Nathan had consulted God on this matter of building a dwelling place. Up to this point, God had been quite content dwelling in a tent, as Pastor Addie pointed out just a little while ago. The tent was sufficient, and quite frankly, it kept the people humble. And I don't know about you, but I like to think about God as being quite literally a happy camper. David's dream, though, was to create a boundaried, safe, sacred space for God, not unlike his home. But God prefers to be on the move, with us, among us. God was not eager for a house to be built, not just yet. God's house was going to be a people, a dwelling place among those who would go out and be in the world, a people called to lead, held by God's steadfast love and promise. So how was God going to communicate to David, "I don't want you to do this"? Here's where Nathan comes into play. One night, Nathan has a dream, and in the dream, God makes it quite clear that Nathan is to confront David and tell him, "This is not your job, David." Now think about this for a moment. David is Nathan's boss, so to speak. David is also the king of Israel, viewed by the people as a hero, a general, a victor in battle. And Nathan is supposed to confront him and say, "What makes you think you're the one God has chosen for this task?" You can imagine how awkward and difficult this might be. I'd love to know what the conversation was like between these two men. We don't know the conversation, but we do know the outcome. According to Scripture, after hearing this news, David went and sat in the presence of the Lord. Better late than never. And evidently, he still wanted Nathan to stay on as his trusted advisor. In fact, in the years to come, there would be more confrontations, there would be more difficult moments, and somehow Nathan seemed to know how to handle it with David. As I think about Nathan's role, it occurs to me, we all need a Nathan in our lives. That is, we all need someone who is able to speak the truth to us in love. Someone who, when necessary, will slap us up the side of the head, figuratively speaking, when we're missing the clues and losing our way. Nathan did that for David. And happy and fortunate are those who have someone to do that for them. What was David's problem all along here? David, who had authored so many of the prayers of the Israel people, had forgotten to pray. David, who had led his people in both worship and battle, had forgotten to consult the commander-in-chief before forging ahead with his plan and his mission. He wanted to build a permanent dwelling place for God. God had a different mission in mind for him. In fact, according to today's scripture passage, God wanted David to rest. He had been constantly on the move, constantly engaged, and God wanted David to rest, to take a sabbatical of sorts, to regroup, to reflect, to savor, to breathe. And sometimes that is precisely what God calls us to do as well. The abiding presence of God is the ultimate source of our rest. David needed to learn that. Jesus knew that well. And we see that in today's gospel lesson, which contains a variety of stories, but has a backstory that is significant. The context for today's gospel lesson: Jesus had sent out his disciples You may remember he sent them out two by two. With very little preparation, no special equipment, they had felt isolated and alone. The work was hard, but now as we encounter them, they are back together, and they are telling Jesus about their experience. And what we know is that he's listening, because as Pastor Addie pointed out, Jesus was compassionate. He saw people, not just for what they looked like, but for who they were. And as Jesus had compassion on his disciples, he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." Jesus discerned they had done enough for now. They needed to rest. So off they went to a deserted place. But things did not unfold as they had planned. People found them. People were desperate for healing, desperate for nourishment. The crowds began to gather. And how did Jesus handle it? He rolled with it, calmly. He responded to them. And then he sent the disciples on ahead of him to a place called Gennesaret, where he would also go and heal more people and feed people. But first, he would go off into the mountains and pray. Repeatedly throughout the Gospels, we encounter Jesus, whose life here on earth, as short as it was filled to the brim with activity. We encounter Jesus going off to pray, to rest, to be by himself. We never get the sense that he is frenzied or pushed. Just this past week, in one of the daily devotionals provided by our denomination, Mary Luti reflected on this. She made the observation that Jesus' brothers thought he lacked ambition because he hung out in Galilee with nobodies, fishermen, tax collectors, sick people, women, children, that is, the powerless. Certainly not the influencers of his day. Jesus, if you want to become anybody, you have to go to Judea. You have to go to Jerusalem, and you need to do it now. But Jesus would not be pushed. Jesus had a sense of who he was and what he was to be doing. And yes, eventually, he would go to Jerusalem on his own terms, in his own time, but not until the time was right. Timing is so critical. That was true for David, who wanted to build a dwelling place for God. God said, "The time is not right. The best ideas can fall flat. If brought forth at the wrong time, in the wrong way, by the wrong people." Jesus understood the importance of timing. He went to Jerusalem when the time was right. And what did he do when he got there? He landed on a cross. Not what his brothers would have recommended that he do, but it's who Jesus was. Jesus would not shape or pace himself for anyone. He had no lust for celebrity, no lust for control, no lust for power. He knew who he was. He knew why he was here. And he understood the importance of traveling not at the world's speed, but at the speed of his own soul. He was unmoved by star power. He was unapologetic about going aside to rest and care for himself, to pray and to listen for God. Burnout was something he knew how to prevent. No matter how many demands were placed on him, no matter how high the expectation of the crowds around him, a calm rhythm characterized his life because he listened for God. He knew when to rest. He knew when to work. He knew when to serve. He knew when to stop. He knew when to say, when. And he knew when to do what. Okay, so we're not Jesus, and we're not nearly so good at this, right? But we can learn from him. And we can learn from David, who certainly did learn the hard way. Finally, David knew what was best for him to do was sit in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes that's exactly what we need to do, to sit in the presence of the Lord. And how do we discern when to do what and how to do it? Three easy steps. Okay, maybe not so easy, but three important steps. Number one, it is absolutely essential that we surround our plans, our dreams, and our decisions with prayer. Not just the ones we think are big decisions and important plans, but all of our life. Surround it with prayer. Number two, be paying attention, looking and listening for God at work in our world and in our lives. David was missing the signals. We often miss the signals because we are so intent on what we have decided we need to do. Pay attention. And thirdly, trust. Trust in the God who can see not only the big picture, but the whole picture, and who has in store for us a plan far better than anything we could ever dream or imagine. Surround it with prayer, listen and pay attention, and trust this God who has said to us, I will be with you. I will guide you on this journey. I will help you discern when to do what. But do it together. Do it as a people of faith. Listen, and I will be there for you and with you. May we dare to trust that. Amen.